We're now moving to agenda paper three.
So Samita's question is whether it's appropriate to apply the scope exemption for business combinations under common control by analogy to the acquisition of an interest in an associate or joint venture under common control. The Interpretations Committee discussed this issue in January and decided not to take this issue to its agenda, tentatively decided, because this issue should be better considered in the context of a broader project on business combinations under common control. The committee received six comment letters, and on the basis of the analysis of those comment letters, we propose removing the statement about diversity in practice from the final agenda decision. This is because we think including the statement, the committee does not add the issue to its agenda, and at the same time, there is diversity in practice seems contradictory. So with that change, we recommend to the Interpretations Committee to finalize the agenda decision. So the question for the committee is, do you agree with the staff recommendation and the proposed wording?
Patricia, you raised this issue with the staff, so I'm going to exercise board member privilege.
Well, it seemed to me that we can't hide the fact that there's diversity in practice. And so deleting the sentence doesn't solve the problem. And nonetheless, I agree with the committee's conclusion that it shouldn't add it to its agenda for the reasons stated. So what I would recommend is rewording it, perhaps putting that sentence at the beginning of the paragraph, saying the committee recognizes there's diversity in practice, but nonetheless, for these reasons, it's not adding it to its agenda at this time.
Scott?
I was going to say almost exactly the same thing as Pat. It seems that taking that sentence out is almost cowardly on our part. You know, we want to try and hide the fact that we knew there was diversity but didn't take on the issue anyways. I think, you know, we ought to leave that sentence in or reword it and acknowledge that even though there's diversity, we thought there were good reasons not to take this on.
John, and then Raj.
I mean, I agree with the recommendation. I do think the balance of the rejection is sort of a, I mean, it says we're not taking it on, but it seems to say we think that the answer is clear. And I think that the paper actually refers to some of the rationale that might be used for the common control view, which is IAS 28, paragraph 26, and IFRS 3, paragraph 2. And I think they should be referred to, those references should be included in the rejection to provide some balance, because I think the rejection sort of is almost worded as if, well, we think the answer is clear, but there's diversity in practice, so we're not going to do anything about it, which I think is, I mean, it doesn't provide the appropriate balance to the two treatments that are applied in practice.
Ron?
I can only echo what Pat, Scott, and John said. I'm for more balanced draft rejection and acknowledgement of the fact that there is diversity at the moment, but still we will not be addressing it.
Andrew?
Well, I agree with that, because I think it would be helpful to have more balance in the wording of the agenda decision, because the logic doesn't quite fly at the moment. So
I'm Diana Perry. I'm a member of the Interpretations Committee.
Kaz?
I just want to understand this, because it's a mix, maybe, information, because the second and third paragraph says that the standard is clear, so we need to rely on the paragraph 32 of IS 28, that is clear. But I think to answer the questions of submitters, it's not always the case, or because it's related to it, we need to resolve this issue because it's a broader project of the common control. So if we strictly answer submitter's question is, in general, most of the cases, it's clear you cannot refer or analyze. You can't apply that by analogy of IFR 3 of common control, but there might be some cases. So is that the message we are delivering? Or, because we don't, this, I think the standard is clear, so we have to follow that IS 28 period. But in going forward, in future, because ISB is taking the new project, so that should be covered, this issue, even it's not in the under common control issue, but the scope needs to be included in this associated issue. I think, so that's, I just want to make sure I understand this wording correctly.
Kaz, can I just check that I've understood you correctly? Are you saying that you think the standard is clear when it comes to how to account for acquisition of an associate or a joint venture under common control? Mm-hmm. Which was obviously the staff recommendation last time around.
Yes.
But I didn't get the next bit of what you were saying.
So, because if this message, I can read, this is observation of the committee. Paragraph 32 is clear guidance. But we reject this to the agenda because that we need to resolve it in a broader scope. That means there is a case this IS 28 guidance cannot apply. So can we read as like this? Or like the standard is clear, but we don't like this results, so the board is maybe reassess this with a wider scope and revisit whether this can be resolved in a common business combination under common control. Andrew?
Well, I think I agree with what Kaz is saying. I mean, there are a number of times that provisions in IFRS 3, exemptions in IFRS 3, have been applied to transactions with associates and joint ventures because of the paragraph that Jean mentioned. So that's what muddies the waters here. We in relation to clause 2G in IS 39 about acquisitions of business combinations, that was, I know some people applied that to associates by analogy, and that was knocked on the head by the board. It made it clear that particular clause didn't apply to associates, and we're kind of doing it here, but by the back door, by sort of not taking on the agenda. That's why I think there is a wider issue here, and that's why I come back to my point about having more balance in the agenda decision.
Who could be opposed to balance? My concern, though, is that adding that balance may make this the longest agenda rejection we've ever published. Doesn't bother me, but then I'm a rules-based American, so I'm not troubled by that. But does anybody see an alternative to that? We've never incorporated by reference in an agenda decision, and I don't believe that we should. They ought to stand on their own. But I take the point that if we're not going to add this, we shouldn't say, oh, by the way, we think we have the answer, but we're not going to ask you to do that anyway. That doesn't make any sense, which I think is the point Kaz was raising. Fei Long?
Yes, you're just talking that there should be at any reference. I'm supported to add some of the reference besides what Kaz said, that actually the staff have made two very important comments, and if we retain some of the reference, we'll be helped to explain why if we reach the conclusion and why the request was rejected. I think it would be helpful.
John, and then Andrew again.
I think just looking at the agenda rejection, I mean, it seems to me that the addition of a sentence after the second paragraph where it says the Interpretations Committee observed that paragraph 32 has guidance on acquisition, I mean, that stands alone and seems to suggest that the answer is clear. I think a sentence after that that says, however, paragraph 26 of IAS 28 and IFRS 3 might suggest that acquisition, you know, that associates, acquisition, investments in associates and joint ventures may be considered to be counted for as under common control. So, I think IAS 28 applies, but I know that in practice people are applying IFRS 3 exemption and paragraph 26 of IAS 28. So it seems to me that's a minor addition to that second paragraph to acknowledge what it is that supports the alternative view would add balance.
I'm seeing a lot of head nodding, which John's approach obviously solves my concern about it being too lengthy to incorporate all of this. Charlotte?
I understand what John's saying. I suppose my concern is if we all think IAS 28 should be the thing that holds, are we actually saying that we think that there shouldn't be diversity? Because nobody said they think the other one should be valid. I know we know it's happening now, but we don't normally avoid the issue just because it's happening now, because people are doing it wrong now.
Alan?
Yeah, I can see why people think it's valid to actually analogize to IFRS 3. And my worry, I guess, is the very last sentence. It implies that because we're going to deal with this issue as a broader one of business combinations under common control, it implies that this is a business combination under common control, which implies it's part of a group. In fact, because a simpler answer might simply be for us to get a pen and strike out and says that an associate is not part of a group, which it's not, or strike out those paragraphs where we say that an equity method is one line consolidation, or the implication that it is, and that would actually solve the issue as well, because it's been our tension all along, and a lot of issues have come here because we see equity method as being analogous, and these are the words you've got in there, to a consolidation. And that's where it's dragged in. I'm actually worried about the common control project generally, because there is consistent confusion between a business combination under common control and transactions under common control. And we know it's a very, very dangerous project, because as soon as you get into a business under common control and then go to the parent-only financial statements, you're into transactions, then into transfer pricing and all those sorts of things. So I'm a bit worried about the last paragraph implying that project might actually solve everything, because it implies that it's a consolidation issue.
Lane, Joanna here.
Essentially putting John's comment in there, indicating why we understand why the problem exists, but I think it's a bigger issue than simply, we either have to say it is part of this common and common control, we'll solve it in that project, or it's because of the tension between the way we describe the group and the way we describe equity method, and we need to address that. And both of those are big issues.
I take your point. I guess I see this as nobody who lives or works at 30 Cannon Street wants that project to get into inventory transfer pricing. That's not, although we have had some requests from national standard setters to do specifically that, we don't. We, being those of us who work for the IASB, don't see the project as going there. On the other hand, this is bigger than an inventory transfer pricing and smaller than a full-blown business combination. So I suspect it might sneak into the scope, conceivably. I don't think we should preclude that. And Alan is nodding his head yes, which is either, I guess that means he's thinking about it, sober but not mutinous, or whatever Jim Lazarin used to say. Laurence?
Alan, you can understand the board.
Laurence?
Yeah, perhaps it comes from history, where I think in the multiple revisions of IS 8, you know, sometimes some changes to the sentences before, from memory, but we would need to look at the old versions of the bound volume. I think that the link was clearer in IS 28 with IFRS 3 directly, and so where you could make the relationship with the scope exemptions for business combination under common control, but they would have disappeared over time through the multiple revisions. So now the only thing you've got is this paragraph 26 that refers to the consolidation procedures, apply the same consolidation procedures, which then would lead you to IFRS 10 and then IFRS 10 to IFRS 3 and so on. That's how you make the link. Practically speaking, and to respond to Alan, the types of why is it important to clarify that it's not necessarily just IS 28 that applies? I can be thinking of a carve-out, where you carve out a whole subsidiary and you may want to bring into a new entity for carve-out and an IPO, maybe some associates in the bunch, and where you would be using the carrying amounts for the things you bring to that new co, which is carved out. So to require them then to apply carrying amount for those amounts carved out for the subsidiary, but IS 28 with different requirements to the associates or joint venture, for me, does not flow. And it is a common control transaction.
Okay, I think I have a potential solution that'll even make Alan happy, or as happy as he gets. Number one, we pick up John's proposed sentence. And I saw a lot of heads nodding yes. Is there any objection to that addition? Okay, number two, we pick up Patricia's suggestion to reinsert the deleted sentence, but move it to the beginning of the paragraph. So it says, we're concerned about diversity in practice, notwithstanding that. And then I suggest that we add a new sentence immediately after May 2012 and say that the committee also observed that the board has on its research agenda, Alan, correct me if I'm wrong, a project on the equity method of accounting. And then in our final paragraph saying, the broader issues that relate to business combinations under common control and the equity method of accounting, so we capture it. Say it's going to live someplace, we just haven't figured out yet where it's going to live. The extended decision, we decided not to add it to our agenda. Does that work? Does anybody object to those changes? All right, I think those are extensive enough that we have to email them to you and make sure that there are no objections when you see them in cold print. So we'll do that. Okay, thank you, Kezzy.